Hi, this is Pastor Gary Brumbelow. Thank you for clicking on to listen to a sermon from Troutdale Community Church. I hope you find real benefit from what you're about to hear, and I hope we get a chance to meet you sometime. If you're ever in the vicinity of Troutdale, 921 Buxton Road, a half mile above downtown Troutdale, may God bless you richly. I'm going to be in Proverbs. You could start looking for that. I bet you can find Psalms, and Proverbs is right after Psalms. If you open your Bible in the middle, you'll probably open it to Psalms. And right behind that is the book of Proverbs. We're starting a new series today. We're calling it Summer of Wisdom. And we're going to go through the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. Both Pastor Barr and me will be preaching from Proverbs through the summer. So that's what starts today. And because you came, you get in on the beginning. Good for you. Proverbs chapter 1, I'm going to read the first 7 verses. This is the prologue to the book. This is the word of God. We're about to hear from the Lord. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You often hear me say that, by the way, after the reading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In many congregations, the preacher says, or the reader says, this is the word of the Lord, and all join together to say, thanks be to God. So let's try it like that. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now you can help us start a new tradition at Troutdale Community Church. Let's ask the Lord again for his presence and his enablement. Father, we open your word now. We come to your word. And of all that we might hear today, and we do hear a lot, this is the most important. This is directly from you. You speak through other means. You speak through the creation. You speak through humans even today. But none of that at the same level as you have spoken to us in your word, as you inspired, the Bible says, holy men of God to write what is here. It's what you want us to know. And we want to understand it, Lord. We want to receive it. We live in a world where, above all, wisdom is greatly needed. And we need it for our daily life. Every one of us has challenges in our daily life. And this book speaks to daily life. Grant that we may hear as you speak to us today because of Jesus. Amen. Years ago, I heard a story about a man who was driving his car, and it happened to be a Ford, and it quit, and he pulled over on the shoulder and got out and lifted the hood and stood there looking at the car, wondering what was wrong and what could he do, when a stranger showed up and offered to help. Got trouble? Yeah, it just quit. Well, let's see. The stranger rolled up his sleeves, tinkered a little bit with the motor, and then said to the driver, try it again. So the driver got in the car, and it fired right up. And he said, wow, I don't know how you did that, but that's amazing. That's just exactly what I need. I'm Jim Smith. Well, I'm Henry Ford. It's good to meet you. Henry Ford, the designer, the inventor of the Ford automobile. Now, if your Ford is broken down by the road, who better to show up than the guy who designed it in the first place, the guy who knows it inside out. You could say he wrote the book on Fords. Now, surprise, surprise, I'm not going to preach about cars today. I use that story to illustrate something about Proverbs 1:1-7. It's not about how to keep a car running, but it is about how to make life work. Proverbs is about how to make life work, and it's also authored by a designer, one who designed human life and all of the universe. And when we turn to Proverbs, we're reading God's instructions about, and that is the one who designed life, who wants it to run well, who designed it to run well, and knows what it makes to life work, and has made that knowledge available to humans in the Bible, and especially in this book. All of the Bible is wisdom, but there are three books of the Bible that are particularly described as the wisdom books of the Bible: Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. And so when we turn to Proverbs this morning, we are seeing an especial focus on the wisdom that God gives humans, the knowledge and the understanding of how to live well. And heaven knows we need that. Humans left to themselves don't do well. Have you noticed? It's like they're always broken down on the side of the road. Never mind humans, just consider your own life. Do you ever wonder, what am I supposed to do now? How am I supposed to address this challenge that's facing me? Why are relationships so complicated? Why is a marriage and a family such a challenge? If you don't ever have questions like that about life, if you've got it all figured out, then you can just tune me out for the next 30 minutes and plan the rest of your day, I guess. But for the rest of us, there's Proverbs, God's wisdom for man. And you are dependent on divine wisdom to understand how to live in God's world. And he gives us this wisdom in the book of Proverbs. If you read this book, if you read this book and heed its counsel, you can survive. You cannot just survive, you can thrive, you can flourish. But if you ignore this book, you will wither. Your life will crumble. And that's tragic, because there's no reason for that, because God didn't intend for humans to crumble and to wither. God intended for humans to flourish, and that's why he gave us this book, especially for the purpose to give us wisdom for living. In fact, did you know it's divided in 31 chapters? There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. That means you can read a proverb every day for a month and then back up and start again the next month. And I would highly recommend that. As I mentioned a little bit ago, we're starting a series today for the summer. We're going to be in the first 9 chapters that are sort of the introduction. This is the prologue, verses 1-7. The first 9 chapters are kind of like an introduction. And in chapter 10, it starts that whole series of every verse is packed with meaning and wisdom. And what my hope is that as a result of going through this together, you'll be inspired to start reading Proverbs and benefit as a result. Again, we're going to look at the first paragraph this morning, and the function of this first paragraph is to demonstrate why you should read Proverbs. That's one way to sum up these first 7 verses, the prologue. Why should you read Proverbs? One way to answer that is this: Proverbs is essential divine wisdom for human life. And it equips the human who hears it and heeds its truth. To the careful reader, Proverbs is a treasure chest of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. It's the gateway to a life of meaning and purpose. And I hope to show you this morning why you should read it. Why should you read Proverbs? We see the first reason in verse 1, you should read Proverbs because its author is wise. The guy who wrote it is smarter than you. You can learn something from Proverbs because of the human author. I'm talking of the human author now. Of course, every book of the Bible is a combination of the Spirit of God speaking to a human. And the human author was known for his wisdom. Look again at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Now, some people make a good living by giving advice. Even today, there's a new career opportunity out there. It's called coaching. And I'm not talking about basketball. I'm talking about a life coach, someone you can hire who will help you live better. You can hire a business coach who will advise you how to improve your business. So, if you have the money, you can hire a coach like that. And the better the coach, the more money they cost. The best coaches with the best reputations, of course, charge the most money. But before you spend that money, I would suggest that you consider sitting at the feet of Solomon. This is what the Bible says about him. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all other men. And people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Solomon was famous all over the place for his wisdom. And you can avail yourself of that wisdom by reading this book. Pick it up and read it. Its author is wise. Now, of course, in his later life, Solomon forgot and abandoned his own wisdom. The Bible says his heart was drawn away from God by his many foreign wives who came from idolatrous nations. And he crashed. Because he abandoned wisdom. Just like he says in here. If you abandon wisdom, you'll crash. Solomon's failure doesn't disprove the truth of this book. In fact, his failure proves the truth. Because it says, keep my commandments and live. Abandon wisdom and you will die. You'll erode. You'll wither. And that's what happens. But you should read Proverbs, first of all, because the author is wise, the wisest man of the ancient Near East. If it were possible that you could go hear Abraham Lincoln, you'd go. Or maybe Benjamin Franklin. If C.S. Lewis, if any of these guys who are, of course, already in the grave, but if they could speak to us today, we would go and listen to them because they're famous for their wisdom. And so it is with Solomon, even more Solomon. Here's a second reason you should read Proverbs. Its purpose is fitting. What do you mean, preacher? Well, Proverbs, like every book of the Bible, is written for a purpose. And the purpose for which Proverbs was written is very fitting to you, very desirable, very apt. It's just what you need. And the purpose for which Proverbs was written shows up in verses 2 and 3. Here's why Proverbs was written: to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. Stop there for now. You need the wisdom that Proverbs gives, and this book will teach you how to live. Proverbs teaches about God and man, about the wise man and the fool. It shows the value of time and the danger of wasting time. Proverbs rebukes the sluggard. It teaches you true friendship, the power of words, how to live in a family. Proverbs speaks of life and death. It's a practical book full of practical wisdom. The purpose for which it was written is very fitting to you. Here's a way to think about it. God created the universe, and he did it in an orderly fashion by his own guiding principles. Some people call this The creation order. There is order in the creation, and that order sustains our lives. And when people are wise, they discover this order and live according to it. Live according to its framework. When a person or even a nation lives within the framework of God's order, they tend to flourish. On the other hand, people who are foolish deny God, or they deny his order. They try to live apart from God's order, and that's very foolish, because to rebel against God's order is to move toward chaos and poverty and enslavement. It would be a little bit like trying to walk around on your hands all the time. You weren't designed to walk on your hands. Of course, people can learn to walk on their hands, and that's a great skill. But nobody was ever intended to always walk on their hands. Or it'd be like going out on the freeway and driving on the wrong side of the road. It doesn't result good to abandon the structure and the order of God's design, because that order is the way to discover freedom and life. Now, Proverbs uses three synonyms over and over: knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Let's just take a minute and look at these words. They're different and yet similar. Knowledge is gained by experience and by reflecting on life. That is, by thinking about your experience. In other words, things happen to you. It's important to stop and ask, now, what just happened there? What can I learn from this experience? That's part of what knowledge is. Proverbs speaks of the knowledge of secular matters and spiritual matters. Knowledge for technical ability as well as for moral issues. And then the word understanding, the Hebrew word for understanding, describes the process by which one gains knowledge through experience. Understanding is the power of good judgment and keen insight. And then the term for wisdom covers the whole gamut of human experience. Wisdom is seen even in the skill of technical work. And in the Bible, we read about the guys who are making the garments for the high priest. And the word wisdom is used to describe that. Wisdom is used to describe craftsmanship and metalwork. I got a chance to see that yesterday. I watched my neighbor Pat as he repaired a mower, Dick. Craftsmanship and metalwork, and it was a fun thing to watch, okay? It's also used in the execution of battle tactics. Wisdom in the practical affairs of life comes from the revelation of God. In other words, the Bible will teach you how to live. The source of all life and all wisdom is a personal God who is holy, righteous, and just. Now, I wonder, do you see anything there that could be useful to you? Do you ever wish that you could understand life better? Perform at your job better? Improve your marriage? See your family thrive? All those are part of the knowledge and wisdom of Proverbs. It's why Proverbs was written. Verses 2 and 3 speak to the purpose of Proverbs, and that purpose is very fitting for you no matter where you are in your pilgrimage, which brings us to verse 4 and 5 and 6, where we see that you should read Proverbs because its effect is good. No matter where you are on your journey, on the scale of wisdom, the effect of Proverbs is valuable and good. It will bear good fruit in your life. Look at verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Now, probably your Bible has bigger margins, more white space on the page in Proverbs than maybe in a different book. If it looks like that, that's because it's poetry. We're reading Hebrew poetry here. And so instead of a narrative that fills up the whole line, it stops when it comes to the end of the line to start a new line. And that's a clue. Ah, we're reading Hebrew poetry here. And one reason that's important, the lines are parallel to each other. The second line restates the first line. We'll see in just a second. But the first line gives a truth. The second line restates it. Look at verse 4. To give prudence to the simple. Your Bible may say to the naive. That's the first line. The second line parallels it. Knowledge and discretion to the youth. The simple, the naive. That's an immature or simple-minded person who is open to temptation because he can't discriminate between right and wrong. That's what simple means in 4a, or naive. And then 4b has another way to say that. Youth. Did you see that? To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. A young person has not had the time or experience, the opportunity, because they just haven't lived long enough, to have the wisdom that they need. And that's one of the reasons Proverbs is written, to give to the naive, to the youth, wisdom, to avoid the traps of the enemy. Prudence means to be wary, to be watching out. And the youth and the naive need to learn that. The youth hasn't learned to distinguish so that he can watch out or she can watch out for that kind of danger. It takes time and experience, years of life, to learn prudence and wisdom. And Proverbs is especially burdened for the young person. We'll see some more about that next week. Proverbs is a necessary part of the process of learning wisdom. The wisdom of Proverbs is good for young people as long as the young person is teachable. There is such a thing, of course, as a young person who thinks I know it all and I don't need anybody to tell me anything and I don't need my parents to tell me. They're kind of like Mark Twain. I think I've used this testimony before. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. You see, naive people need the wisdom of Proverbs, whether young or old. And there is such a thing as an older person who's naive. And yet, look here, even the wise person can benefit from Proverbs. Its effect is good even for the wise person. Look at verse 5. So verse 4 is to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in learning. And the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Proverbs has something for you no matter where you are on that scale of wisdom. And of course, it's a sign of wisdom to remain teachable through life. The one who thinks he has nothing to learn is very foolish and living in a dangerous place. Wisdom understands the need to grow more in wisdom. Just the other day, Valerie and I were remarking that the longer we live, the more we see our faults and shortcomings. So may God give to all of us, young and old, simple or wise, to grow in wisdom as we read this wonderful book. You should read Proverbs because its effect is good. And then we come to a magnificent statement in verse 7. The writer boils down the main subject of Proverbs to one verse and says you should read Proverbs because its subject is vital. You can't begin to succeed in life without understanding the subject of Proverbs. It's that important. True life begins with understanding the subject of Proverbs, which is the fear of the Lord. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. Proverbs is about learning to live in awe and reverence of God. That's the beginning of wisdom. Recognizing that the Creator holds the universe in His hands. He holds you in His hands. Your life is utterly dependent on His favor. If He would withdraw for just an instant His attention, everything around us would totally vanish and be gone. Because He holds it all together. You can't see Him, but everything around you is evidence that He is real. And to ignore that evidence, to act like all the reality around you just got here by accident, is very foolish. Look at 7b. Fools, look, see that? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That would be like the guy pulled off on the side of the road telling Henry Ford to take a hike. Well, that would be stupid. And it's foolish to ignore God's ownership over the whole universe and over your own life. You can't even start to flourish until you recognize that God made you. And God owns you, and He has expectations of your life. You're not your own. That's what it means. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, of course I fear God. But the question is, what does it look like to live in the fear of God? And we have pictures of this. Because when you fear God, your behavior shows that. It's not just something in your mind. It affects your behavior. One of the pictures we have of this in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 1, where we read about some women, it said, who feared God. They were midwives. They delivered babies among the children of Israel who were slaves in Egypt. And the Pharaoh decided there's too many Hebrews around here. And so he told these midwives, I want you to throw every newborn male into the river. Now, the Pharaoh was the ultimate earthly ruler. I mean, he was the king of the whole universe if you lived in Egypt. He had the power of life and death. You don't just diss the Pharaoh. But these women disobeyed him. Did they not fear the Pharaoh? Well, if they did, they feared God more. That's what it says. They feared God. And so they didn't throw the babies. They saved the babies. And the record says, so God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. I'm talking here about fearing God in a context, in a climate where a political leader may have power to harm you. That's what the midwives did. They feared God. Or the story I used a couple of weeks ago, I think, about Sir Thomas More back in the days of King Henry VIII. When Henry VIII decided, I'm going to divorce and remarry, and he expected Thomas More to come along with this. And he said, I'm the king's good servant, but God's first. He refused to do that out of his fear for God. Thomas More respected the king, but he feared God more. And so he wasn't going to go against God, but rather he opposed the king for his flagrant sin, and he paid for it with his life. So how is your fear of God? I wonder what that looks like in your life. I wonder what opportunities we may have to show our fear of God in a society where there is increasing animosity towards Christianity. We may have some practical ways to show that we fear God more than we fear human rulers. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Our society has largely abandoned the fear of God and has suffered for it. At one time, even people who didn't claim to be Christians believed in the God of the Bible. They lived according to biblical principles. They acknowledged God as the creator. But now, largely due to the lie of evolutionism, our society has abandoned the fear of God. Listen to this from a man named Jeremy Rifkin. We no longer feel ourselves to be guests in someone else's home and therefore obliged to make our behavior conform with a set of pre-existing cosmic rules, that is, the creation order. No, it's our creation now. We make the rules. We are the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. You need to read Proverbs because its subject is vital. Proverbs teaches wisdom, and wisdom begins by living in the fear of God. But can it be done? Can a person really learn to fear God in America in 2015? And who is this God we read of here anyway? I said a moment ago that you can't see him. How can you fear a God you can't see? But he has made himself seen, hasn't he? He has shown himself to us. There is one who made God visible, who said to his followers, if you see me, you've seen the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. Jesus came to make God known, and a piece of that is to make the wisdom of God known. In fact, Proverbs is pointing to the gospel here when it speaks of the wisdom and the fear of God, because the Apostle Paul will write many hundreds of years after this, he writes this, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Jesus reveals God's wisdom to all who ask in faith. He came, he lived, he died, he rose again. And in that incarnation, that is the life of Jesus, and in his atoning death, he opens the way for us to see wisdom. When we read Proverbs, we can be sure that it's pointing us to Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, read the book, seek the Lord, ask him to make himself real to you, and he will answer that. Father, thank you for this first little taste of Proverbs, that you've cared enough about humans to show us wisdom, that we don't have to wander around in the dark or in ignorance, because you've given us truth and knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Lord, grant that the power of that would not be lost on our minds and hearts today. Direct our feet, direct our steps and our eyes and our ears toward your word, that we might bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.